I just appreciate hearing some of these testimonies, and I think of James, and you stop and think about it. You know, do you really believe what you believe is really real? And you know, and that's often the way people look at us, and they will evaluate us on the basis of, you know, what kind of life do you live? Do you really believe what you believe is real? You know? So true, but how exciting to see what God does in the lives of people, and in your lives, He does. And keep sharing it, guys. Keep sharing it. To me, that's so important. When you think about revival, you know, how does revival start? Well, it starts from the hearts and lives of men, and in the hearts, and just basically, then and living it out and sharing it with people. And don't be ashamed of that gospel. And who knows what God has yet in store. It's fantastic. Well, listen, we want to continue in our study of 1 Corinthians, and we're moving right along to chapter 13. And again, what a fantastic chapter, and where it's placed in this whole book. Here's a church, the Corinthian church, and you know that the problems that they had, you know, relationally with each other, and the issues and the pride and the criticisms and the divisions and immorality, all the kind of stuff that was going on within that church. And then Paul addresses these things one at a time. Now, you know, this the major part of the problem in Corinth was this whole issue of what their attitude was toward themselves regarding certain gifts, spiritual gifts, certain abilities. And the one gift that seemed to, you know, cause them to separate sort of from each other, making themselves a little more spiritual than the others, was the gift of tongues. And so Paul literally deals chapter 12, 13, and 14 dealing with that particular issue. So you know it was very important. It was a very divisive issue. And it's so good for us to have that like this, because what it does is shown us what spiritual gifts really are. You know, God has gifted us, but we all have a gift, and they can be totally different from each other. But that doesn't make one more important or greater, or makes you more spiritual than another. What God's really concerned about is what's going on in your heart. How's your love life? See? How will people know that we're Christians? By our love. And now we've got to stop and analyze, well, what is that love? And that's what Paul has been dealing with. He says, you know, I really don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So it's all chapter 12. Then he ends with chapter 12. He says, but eagerly desire greater gifts. He'll talk about what he feels is really important as far as gifts are concerned in chapter 14. But then he says, now I will show you a more excellent way. And now there's chapter 13. What's the excellent way? It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit. Your love. And what does that love consist of? So now we're in this whole study, and you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love, man, you don't read very, very clear. It's a lot of hypocrisy. Where's the love? Where's the love? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and have all knowledge and faith that can move mountains, oh, I tell you, we're impressed by that. Boy, I'd love to see people do great things, and boy, flock to see them, you know? And then all of a sudden he says, but have not love, I am nothing. And even if I give what I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, have not love, I gain nothing. Now, so what is love? This is where we're going to pick it up, okay? So in your study, look at the second section here, verses 4 to 7. We have to realize that love is more than just affection. Love is more than just that emotional attachment with other people. Love is action. Amen. Love is involvement. Love is, you know, putting yourself out there for people. So let me just kind of walk our way through. Having established the fact that Paul is more interested in our attitude than our ability and our loving, our labor, the Apostle Paul now defines what that love actually looks like. Not a feeling, behavior. Now, it's a little bit of a trick question here, but I want to see how well you guys did here. What are 8 characteristics of what love is? Did you figure that one out? 8 characteristics of what love is. Who's got that? You see it in here, Gene.
Love is kind, not envy, not boastful.
Oh, no. What love is, not what love is not. Told you, it's a sneaky one here. Oh, see? Yeah, I know, but it's not, it's what it is. Rich, what you got?
Patient, kind, truthful, protects, trustful, hopeful, reserved, and never fails.
Okay.
Missing one.
What did you look at? What did you think about? Because my next question is, what are 7 characteristics that love is not?
Not envious.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at here. So, that's right. So what you look at here in verse 4, I find it here. Okay, love is patient, love is kind. Then you drop down to verse 7, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, okay? And this one here keeps no record of wrongs.
It rejoices.
It rejoices, very good, it rejoices. That's what love is. Now we're gonna come back to these because I want you to tell me some definitions here. So what love is not? That's the other list. It is not envious. It is not boastful, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, not delighting in evil. Now let's just take a look at this and see how this, do we understand what that means? Jeff, we got a comment.
Just a question, for clarification, is love a verb or is it a noun?
It is a verb. It can be both.
Okay.
It can be both, but you have to understand, when you talk about agape love, it isn't just a nice little definition as a noun, this is a verb, this is action. Okay? And it's not just an emotion, it has to be a noun, it is a verb. Okay? Love is a verb. So let's talk about what does it mean now? When you read that, let's kind of walk it right through verse 4. Love is patient. What does that mean? It's patient.
It waits.
It waits. Okay? Anything more with that? It waits for what? Bad things to happen?
Wait for good things to happen.
Wait for good things to happen. Okay.
Dealing with people.
Okay. Dealing with
right
people.
Away, just be patient with them.
Very good. Kind of. I still love that King James word, long suffering.
Yeah.
there's something about that that really rings, doesn't it? This long suffering. Joel.
I think patience can be defined as choosing to embrace being where you're at.
Choosing to embrace being where you're at. Okay, very good. Okay, for yourself, if you deal with other people, likewise. Go ahead.
It's interesting how you handle long suffering. I've never heard that long suffering.
That's in the King James Bible.
Yeah. Interesting. How
yeah.
You, when did that come out? When did the text come out?
Interesting, isn't it? Go ahead.
Because he uses in the Bible, patience is used a lot.
Yes.
To build faith and to make you a mature Christian.
Yes.
And if you look at like even Abraham, God says, "I'm going to make I'm going to give you a child that is, is future nation."
That's right. Look how long it took.
And then goes away for 5 years.
It's true. Patient. I put that. This is an ability to be inconvenienced, or you taken advantage of, and not to overreact. I saw another hand over here. Somebody, go ahead, Brad.
From my perspective, it's all about attitude.
It is attitude.
It's
yes.
One of the things where I struggle with patience, and sometimes I feel impatient. But you start to say it should be this way,
right.
And I start pushing this way, and realize the Holy Spirit convicts you, and you're like,
yes.
Back off. It's all about attitude.
Very good.
answer Don's question about long suffering, James talked about this morning, he was having an affair on his wife.
Yes.
He chose not to leave him.
Yes.
Hang in there until he got self, so that's what I define as long suffering.
And patience, as a Christian quality, is at least giving God the opportunity to work. Give God a chance, okay? One more here. Go ahead, Dick.
Now, that whole philosophy is only really works when you're around people who encourage you to stay in the Word of the Lord.
Yes.
If you have the world, if not what you want, go get something else.
Exactly. Now, notice the next word. What the next word is? Kind. Talk to me about being kind. What does it mean to be kind?
It comes into play when other people aren't kind to you.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, but you're using the same word. We need a little more definition here.
Courteous.
Courteous. I like the word courteous. Go ahead.
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful.
Friendly.
Friendly.
Considerate.
You really have to be careful with your words.
Yes.
You know, many times, when I have some discussion in front of me, I know that I very easily lose my temper. So, but then I concentrate and say, hey, you have to stick to certain words and be understanding and kind.
Yes. Now, keep following my now. We're talking about love. So how does love show itself? Well, there's a certain amount of patience. In other words, you're not just going to quickly overreact or react because something doesn't hit you just right and so forth, and you're all upset about certain things, but you're willing to let God have a work in the life of the other person and let God work in your life, and then how you treat. Patience must show itself also in being kind, okay? I'm going to keep moving. To be gracious and caring. It's an active goodwill. It seeks the welfare of others. Now, here's some negatives, okay? Not envy. What is not to envy? What is it to envy?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Okay, and keep talking about this. Bruce.
To say or feel that you deserve what somebody else has.
Okay.
Now you're looking.
I'm sorry?
Red Ford pickup.
Red Ford pickup.
You don't love me very much, do you? It says, don't envy, Harry. It's coveting, isn't it? That's coveting.
He begins to lose his patience.
He loses his patience. Rich.
My grandfather used to say, he said, don't wish what the other guy has got, but wish you had the ability to do as well as he does.
Oh, very good.
He said, I always think about that Mr. Foxley, or I mean, Mr. The neighbor. Always, he didn't want all the land in the county, he just wanted those next to his.
Think about that. He didn't want all the land in the county, he just wanted what was next to his. That's right, isn't it? Okay? That's very good. Jeff.
Well, it seems like the term facet comes to mind here because, you know, there's all these descriptions are facets of
right
of love, which
yes
is like the diamond,
yes,
the jewel. But it almost seems like though there's a choice with everything of whether you're going to be what love is going to be the righteous choice,
yeah,
and either it's going to be envy or it's going to be kindness.
Right.
So it's you have a choice. Right, yeah. Then and there, how you're going to operate.
Yeah, but it's not a choice deciding, well, what kind of love, I mean, the love part is constant.
Mm.
And what's interesting, as you see like a rainbow, you see all those different colors that come out, we realize it all comes together, but it's the same source. So what is love in this circumstance? Well, that person really needs kindness, okay, and patience. But it comes back again, not eliminating the others, but it always comes back to what the whole thing consists of. It's really neat, you know. Okay, it's not envy. It's not wanting what others have or desiring evil on others. And it's not jealousy, okay? And you kind of wish what's best for that other person. All right? Not boastful. Talk to me about that. What do we mean? Not boastful. How is love not boastful?
Exaggerating.
Okay, boastful kind of exaggerating about yourself or a situation. Okay, how does that play in with love? What do you tend to do when you're boastful about yourself? What do you do with the other person? Jim?
Boastful, you're self-centered, love goes out.
Okay. Boastful, you're focusing on self till you make yourself a little bigger with the intent of making the other one a little smaller. Is that true? Chat, Brett?
Okay, exactly.
Okay.
Boastful is all about me.
It's all about me. Exactly, Andy.
You know, what I've really found to be helpful is when people, you know, let's say, you know, there's something I've done that was loving, and someone shows grace or you know, just being grateful, I always point out, I try to remind myself to say, you know what, it's not me, it's really Lord Jesus that
right.
has been so such a blessing in my life.
Yes.
How do you handle, okay, so that works for the majority of Christians that I interact with, but I have a brother-in-law who struggles with if there's a God. And when I say that, he comes back and says, well, you're being boastful. Why do you think you have a direct connection to God? So
okay.
How do you handle those people?
You know.
All Christians have a direct. All people
really do. Right, but then they think
yeah.
that we're being boastful because we have some kind of like
yeah.
righteous past.
Yes.
God.
I think that's worth listening to.
That's what I said here.
Yeah, good.
You know, and I think all you can basically do is come back to him and say, you know something, I can't say it's about me, that I have this. All I can point to for you is to point to Jesus. All I can do is say, you know, John, whoever this person is, you got to look at Jesus. Jesus basically is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, you've got to wrestle with what he says. Is that being boastful, or is that basically Jesus saying, this is who I am, and I want you to know who God is in terms of how he revealed himself through me? So it's a tough one, because I understand what he's saying. But we've got to be able to shift it back and say, it's not, I'm not trying to be boastful that, hey, I've got the answer. You know, deep down inside, I know I have, but I'm not going to throw it in your face. All I can say to you is, I want to point you to the source. I want to point you to the source. Any person who comes around and says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, you've got to come back to him and really find out, is this guy real or is he a lunatic? Or is he a liar? Is he a legend? Or is he really the Lord? And if he's the Lord, then you're going to come and see it my way.
Referring to John 3:16.
Yeah, John 3:16. Howard.
I think in love, when you're boastful, you're saying, as you pointed out, I love better than you. I am better. I love better
okay,
than you.
Okay, that's right.
But I think the situation Andy is raising is that we respond by saying, you know, I am patient. I'm unselfish. I love my neighbor. I do that because of my beliefs and because
yeah.
of my faith.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I am better than.
Right.
This is who I am, and this is why.
Yeah. Keep pointing to Jesus. That's all I say. Keep pointing to Jesus. Carl.
You know, Richard just said love, and that struck me because on our recent trip, a man said something very, very rude to me about my faith. And, I didn't have a first reaction of anger or anything, but I just had this overcoming sense of, we got a lot of trip to go through. We're still going to be out here a lot of miles.
That's right.
And I'm going to be interacting with him. And I'm not boasting, but I kept my eye on the ball. I have to love this man.
Excellent.
I have to go. I have
Excellent.
To love go before
That's right.
him. Because if I don't win him over,
That's
as a
right.
friend.
That's right.
He's not gonna be willing to listen to
you. Got it. And that's being patient, isn't it?
That's being patient. That's, you know, it's really something. If you let that attitude play out in yourself,
that's right.
God will bless that
that's
situation.
Right.
And you know that he was, I want to say, happier with my presence and looked at me more because I didn't come right after him.
Very
I
good.
Right after him, it had been all over. Get the sign sealed, delivered,
yes.
and I'm
yes.
gone.
Now, you see how important all these little facets are, because you can rely on your giftedness and really throw it in his face, or you say, you know, God loves this person. He wants to love him through me. How can I represent Jesus in this case? Jeff?
The scripture comes to mind. How will they know unless somebody preaches to them?
Right.
How will they know unless somebody is sent? So right. When I think of boastfulness, there's a good boastfulness.
Yes.
Boastful, and actually we're exhorted to boast in the Lord.
Boast in the Lord.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and there's a good jealousy.
Right.
He's jealous for us.
Yes.
So there's a godly of this, and then there's a worldly or a selfish.
Well, and that's what we're concerned about. What is this love? See? Joel.
I just want to put a quick word to reinforce what Carl just said about the way he's reaching out to his friend. I think what that smacks of is believing the gospel for reason.
Okay.
If he believes the gospel
is
true for his friend, and he saw that his friend with the gospel believed it, that this is a person that God loves, this is a person that God desires to redeem, that Jesus died as a person. And I really ought to get up on God's shoulder and see what he thinks is so redeemable about this person.
Very good.
And agree with God, and let that be the basis of the way I can evangelize.
Very good. Let's just pick up a couple other ones here now. It is not arrogant. Okay, what does it mean to be arrogant?
Proud.
Proud. Don't think about yourself. Think more highly of yourself than you ought. Big-headed, puffed up. You know, look at me. That's arrogance. Not rude. What do you think of a person being rude?
Well, that Carl could have been.
Yes, but he wasn't. That's right. You could have lashed back, you could have given him a tongue lashing, and man, I mean, you could have thumped him with the Bible up and down his face, you know? I mean, very easy. You can do that. But that isn't love. See, love is trying to understand which person is coming from and understanding a little bit there. And why could Jesus hang on that cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? You know, for love, you see, and this is a real mirror for us to look at, because we realize, we often I think we think we love everything, you know, we're I love people, but when it comes down to it, sometimes behaviors, how you relate with people, what happens here, and do you notice, do you respect people, or you kind of look at them and say, oh, let's person doing here. I mean, how do you respond? See, Brad.
As I say, in Carl's instance, I find root cause of people reacting like that probably 100% of the time is that they saw somebody who said they were a Christian and they were treated rudely. And
yes.
So the minute you say you're Christian, they immediately say, oh, well, you're one of those guys.
Yes.
What I find is that it's so crucial that we show them who the real Jesus is.
Oh,
like I tell the guys in prison all the time, I say, you know, you guys are
right.
Most of the guys are in here with me, not reading their Bible. You're the only Jesus they see.
The only Jesus they see.
Model is the only reading model
you got
is
it.
In the power of the Holy
Spirit. You got it.
Man.
You got it. Gary?
With tension so high and everything, you know, being very tense these days, it's hard. People are rude.
Oh.
And it's really hard not to lash back at them.
Okay.
Now, that counts for a lot.
Think about this. This whole political scheme, and you know, when people are forming allegiances to certain political parties and all this kind of stuff, and how easy it is to be rude. How easy. I mean, that just comes out of my own nature. It's so easy. But how then do we represent the Lord Jesus? That's got to be a question we have to ask ourselves. Andy?
You know, as you guys know me more, and the reason why I'm so fired up for Jesus is because for the majority of life, I was an atheist, boarding agnostic until I was age 30.
Right.
I wasn't saved until I was 30.
Right.
And I was the antithesis of love.
Yes.
I was the master of the devil.
Right.
I was the master, the guy who would rip you down quickly.
Yeah.
I was the master of rage.
Yeah.
And I was the master of one who made my wife rock back and forth and around in a ball, thinking that she married this insane madman.
Right.
So But it was the biblical principles that I learned.
Yes.
And it was the God's love for me.
Yes.
Yes.
That then now has taught me how to love others. And so what I've learned over the last, 10 years of being this baby Christian, as they call it, the fired up baby Christian, is that one, lead your life by example.
Yes.
So you lead by example, other will follow.
Yes.
In the rage part, I've learned how to quell that rage by saying, you know what? It's not my responsibility. It is not my jurisdiction to lay wrath down on other people who are rude. Leave it to God.
Very good. I always remember that one incident where James and John were with Jesus, and they saw these other people out there, and Jesus said to them, well, these guys aren't following you, shall we call the wrath of God on them? Jesus just shuts them down. I mean, we got to remember, we will tend to want to do that. That's our old nature. You got to remember, God's given you a nature. And that's in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've got to recognize to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, as they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength.
Right.
And love others.
Neighbors.
It's nothing
exactly
to do with
right.
us. It's what God has
exactly
given
right.
us freely.
That's right.
And then we give that away.
That's right.
That love that we've received
exactly.
is not deserved.
Yes.
We need to then give that same love,
yes.
which is grace,
yes.
to others.
And I always appreciate it, in John 13, 35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you. And you've heard me say this before, well, what's so new about that commandment? Old Testament said, love your neighbor yourself. The standard is different. It's not about loving your neighbor as yourself. Love one another how? I have loved you. Now, standard has shifted. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, from the Meaning of Marriage, Tim Keller writes something about love. The whole chapter on love, but there's something really beautiful. It's about a minute. Can I just read it real quick?
Sure.
He's talking about his wife, but it goes to everybody. It says, he stayed. Many people hear this say, I'm sorry. I can't give love if I don't feel it. I can't fake it. That's too mechanical for me. I can understand that reaction, but Paul doesn't simply call us to a naked action. He also commands us to think as we act. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This means we must say to ourselves something like this. When Jesus looked down from the cross, he didn't think, I'm giving myself to you because you are so attractive to me. No, he was in agony and he looked down at us, denying him, abandoning him, betraying him. He said, and in the greatest act of love in history, he stayed.
He stayed. Powerful, isn't it?
He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He loved us because we were not, he loved us not because we were lovely to him, but to make us lovely.
Amen.
That is why I'm going to love my spouse. Speak to your heart like that,
right.
And then fulfill the promise.
Beautiful. And that's the thing that has to permeate, within our relationship. We can talk about revival. We can talk about, beating people over the head with Bible and scripture verses. Where does revival start? It's got to be something with the Lord, while walking with the Lord. Okay, I got to move on to the next one here, okay? So it's not rude, it's not selfish. What does selfish mean? All about me again, okay? Not all about me. Living for myself, it's lacking concern for others' welfare. It's not irritable. I'm going to just give a couple of definitions here, but irritable, which becomes angry quickly, suddenly. There's sudden outbursts, easily provoked. You touch a button and poof, there it goes. I mean, that's not love. Love, basically, you're willing to hang in there, see what's going on with that person. That person is valuable. You love them because God loves them. And it's not resentful, holds grudges, keeps record of wrongs that you have suffered. You're quick to forgive and to walk with other people. So important. That's what love is. Okay. Comment.
When we talk about easily provoked, I refer to those in my life as landmines.
Okay, landmines.
If you can identify where the landmines are,
yes,
and load them up in advance,
yes,
it helps a lot. That doesn't mean you can't or detonate them or whatever the case would be. I mean, you know, to do it in private before you come across it is because, and for me, a lot of times there's just like the smallest little thing, just takes the smallest little trigger and it can go boom.
That's true.
Right? And blow up the whole program, whatever it might be. And so I try and identify some of those things, if you know they're out there, and try and blow them up in advance and address them up front and try and take it and so that way trying to avoid, you know, whether it's a family or a friend or a work environment or whatever the case would be, is to be able to blow, you know, not, if you expect it and you know you're going through a landmine field, you know, just go through very cautiously. The other part is you talk about the gospel a lot and sharing it. You were talking about don't beat people over the head with it and that kind of stuff. It makes me think of the comment, and I'm not sure if I can get this right, but it's like, you know, spread the gospel. When necessary, use words.
Yes.
St. Francis of Assisi at all times, spread the word if all else fails. Spread the gospel, all fails, use words.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. And as we're talking about that, I was thinking about
so
that. And a lot of the stuff that he's talking about with love here, he's focused on people and actions.
That's right.
Because they're going to watch your actions much more than they're going to listen to you.
That's right.
They'll listen to you if they see these things happen
exactly
in your
right.
life.
It's an amazing thing, you know, that love really is. So, yes, Eddie.
So, let me throw a question out to the mentor here. So how do we, there's people who have ran businesses before. We want to lead our businesses like Christian leaders, as Christian leaders. How do you deal with employees who you want to love, but they still get it? They're taking advantage of you, they're stealing from your business or whatever. You know, how do you handle that in a loving way, you know, short of like, you know, throwing on the streets? You see what I'm saying? So how do you
right. James has some response. Bruce?
So I'm a manager at a software company you've heard of, and I actually have an employee. I had to put on a performance plan this week, so I can answer that specifically. And he's not a Christian, and obviously, I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm not going to go in and bring up Christ in any direct way here. But what I can do is left very, very clear, here's what we need, here's what the expectations are, and I know you can do it, and I want you to succeed,
right.
But the company and the business have these requirements. So it's not, we can say that the company is not emotional, it's very clear, but I'm pulling for you. I know you can do it, and I will help you in any way.
I like that.
What if he fails? What if he doesn't need it? Then you...
Well, the model always is that you set up the guidelines and it is they're responsible for their performance.
Right.
You know, in the company context, we do not have mercy in the way Christ does.
Yeah.
That we are not charged with that. But we make it transparent. We have set these guidelines, we've met with you regularly. We've given you, here's how we have helped you, made these things available, but you're responsible for your behavior. And if you fail to make the behavior, we are ending our relationship with you.
I think that's important. Just because, you know, we're Christians doesn't mean that, well, we just have to put up with all the stuff that a person, if you don't set the standards and you don't say to the person, you know something, this has to be met, and if you don't, then either, you know, you've got to resign, or I'm going to have to set you aside, because otherwise they'll never learn. They'll never learn. Now, there may be situations where, you know, they stumble over something or whatever it is, and you can be gracious through this and say, you know, I can let this one get by me this time, but you've got to understand something. To work for this company, we're going to pay you, you know, this kind of performance cannot be there. And I think that's totally valid.
If you don't set those standards, you're not being truthful.
Yes, and that's not being loving either.
And then if you,
that's wishy-washy.
If you let him get away with certain requirements, everybody
right.
else is going to be envious.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Guys,
that's good.
Guys, just
you're not helping him. You don't set the standards.
That's true.
You're not helping him at all.
That's true.
Carl.
You know, as men, there's no women.
Speak up so everybody can hear you.
As men, and there's no women present in this room, we are supposed to be the leaders of our home.
Right.
And all of these things are tremendously applicable. That means that
yes.
we have to have an extra love of all these things that are patient and kind and long-suffering,
right.
truthful and honest.
Right.
but to set the tone, set the spiritual tone, set the reactionary, not reactionary, but the attitude tone for things that get really uncomfortable between a husband and a wife at times because of outside circumstances. That's how I think husbands teach. That's how husbands teach their daughters. There's a marriage, maybe.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll find this also in families or even in your own life. When you make wrong choices and you know God speaks to you, God still loves you, but just because you ask for forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean all the consequences go away. See, sometimes we think, well, if I'm forgiven, that means all the consequences will nicely go away. I won't have to face up to any of this kind of, you know, reaction to my behavior. Well, you know, that just isn't true, because I go all through Scripture, and David, for instance, you know, with his, you know, affair with Bathsheba and all the stuff that happened in his family and everything like that, you realize that God was the apple of God's eye. He loved David, and yet at the same time, you realize, hey, you made some wrong choices, David. You're going to have to walk in these things. Now take everything that I've given you in that walk. So, you know, and, but how won't you're going to learn love? I had one over here, Bruce, you were going to make a comment.
I was going to say is that the thing is that, Andy, the other part is that, which sort of ties back to Christianity, is you've got to make it clear that we're not comparing you to others. You know, it's
yes.
Your relationship with God, it's your relationship with the
right.
company. We are not, and making sure that the person remembers that you give them an opportunity
right.
to succeed independent of everybody else. You are not, your performance is not tied to anybody else. It's your relationship.
Very good.
And that's what makes God's gift so amazing, is that
yes.
my relationship, and nothing to do with anything else, He
yes.
died for me.
Right. Yeah. Let me finish off here with just a couple other questions here. Question C, how would the spiritual gifts that Paul listed in chapter 13, 2-3 benefit if exercised with the kind of love that was described in verse 4 and 5? Remember, he talked about prophecy, he talked about, you know, understanding mysteries and having all knowledge. In other words, you see now, it's easy to have these gifts. Now, how would having these gifts really benefit if it's related in with love?
It would work well.
It'll say?
It would work real well.
Okay.
Okay. Build up the church.
Keep building on that. Okay. What else you see here, Fred?
So I believe if you are truly modeling love, the Holy Spirit will be pouring out of you. People see how real God is.
Yes.
And when you prophesy to them, or when
right.
you're showing faith, they see how real God is. And so they listen to what you're saying.
That's right.
Not because of who you are, but because of what God
there
is
you go.
Through you.
It's not just about me and I'm, you know, building up myself. I mean, you want them to see God. I mean, and for their benefit. Jeff.
Well, what I think about is that it's organic flowing of outpouring of God's Spirit.
Okay.
And I think of the fruit of the Spirit is
right.
love and all these things
right.
that are ways that God would act in that situation.
Yes.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? Exactly right.
And so, you know, I'm not too hard on myself or others, especially those who are young or new in the faith.
Right.
Because they don't get it.
Yeah.
Because they don't act in any of these ways.
And it takes
yet.
Time. So that's right. Exactly. Okay, so prophecy, well, if it's prophecy, preaching, you know, explaining God's word is used to build up other believers, that's important. It's not a focus on yourself. See how good I am or what I'm doing. Or understanding mysteries. Okay, man, I mean, that could really be a self-lifter. But what you do, you're teaching these mysteries to others and not with the thought of your own reputation. You have all knowledge. Well, okay, you have a lot of insight into Scripture. Why are you sharing this? To help others to catch that insight. So it's all about other people. So now my next question would be, how would you compare the love described here in this Corinthians passage with the love that is so commonly used in our society?
It's
flippant and just sexual.
Okay, so much is, what flippant you say?
Yeah, like you watch these talent shows on TV.
Okay.
And up there, oh, I just love you. You know,
okay, right.
And it's
okay.
Love, all the time.
Okay, very good.
I've been dealing with this for the last couple of years with my wife, for me, my love for her.
Yes.
It's very clearly in our society, love is what makes me happy.
Right.
And this kind of love is completely what makes others happy.
Think about it.
My love is always, gosh, I love you because you make me feel this way.
Me feel good.
That
that's right.
Does this for me. Gosh, I love that. I love her.
All about me. Very good.
All about
good.
Me. And I didn't really understand agape. I mean, I'm at a point with my wife where real love means just letting her go.
Yeah. Right. As hard as it is.
Thomas Aquinas gave an example of confusing love and like, dislike and hate.
Okay.
Love is on the cross. Like is it feels good.
Oh, very good. I like that. See, I like it. I love it. He says, love is what you saw on the cross. And I catch that right? And like, how'd you put that again? Love and like.
Word,
No, I like it.
Is, it feels good.
It feels good. Like is it feels good. So he's making a distinction between love and liking. Well, it's interesting, again, you think about our society, it's amazing, but society loves others who benefit them. You know, we don't mind giving people strokes, but boy, when we don't get some strokes back again, we say, well, let's cross the line, let's cross them off. We love those who love us. In other words, what's in it for me? Love is so much sexual pleasure. Yes, Andy?
I just wanted to put in a word of encouragement for Darren, is that my wife leaving me, and she left me for 6 months, filed for divorce, and also filed restraining orders. But God can redeem. So we're now married almost 16 years now.
Yes.
So he has a plan.
Yes.
And so trust him, love her, change yourself first, then you change your family.
That's right.
And then you can change your community.
Exactly right.
Start with yourself.
Got to start there. God, I want to become the godly man you created me to be.
And
let that be the focus. Yes.
So desirable.
That's right.
To run back to you.
I know.
And my wife now, at one time proposed an open marriage.
Oh, wow.
Andy, let's have an open marriage.
Yes.
I should be telling you guys all this. Now you can see her church. But now she's got to the point where she's so jealous that she won't let me even talk to anybody else. So God can redeem
And God really worked in her heart, in her life as well, One last question. Yeah. Take a moment. Read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Substitute the name of Jesus for the word love everywhere it occurs. I'm going to read it that way, okay? Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not Jesus, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and have faith, can move mountains, but have not Christ, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not Jesus, I gain nothing. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil. He rejoices in the truth. He always protects and always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Jesus is love.
Jesus is love. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much just for this time of sharing. And Lord, it's so refreshing just to realize that life isn't just about me. Life is about you. It's no longer I who lives, Christ who's in me. And Lord, as you have come to indwell us by the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to realize that you want your presence to to be demonstrated. You want people to know who you are through this body, through each of our bodies, and we form the body of Christ together as the church. So Lord, help us to display that, how we treat each other, how we have patience when we're irritated, and how we can be so critical and realize that you're kind. And Lord, help us to just set ourselves aside to be able to look around and realize, Lord, you are an awesome God. Thank you for being so loving and kind and patient and reaching out for me. And now, Lord, help me to reach out to others the same way. Thank you, Lord. Go with each of us. Pray your blessing and your praise for the things that we've learned. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Continue with this last section, okay? Please.